Let's take a look at some scripture together again this morning. We'll start where we have for the last several weeks. We are going to look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Very last verses of the Gospel of Matthew. And as always, these are just a launching off point for us. And the message we want to share with you today, a series of messages. This is now the fifth week in the series. Before I even share that, let me go ahead and say this. Let me thank the Unarick family for the flowers that we have this morning. These were left from Diana's memorial service yesterday, and they are beautiful, and we appreciate very much your gift to our church. Thank you so much for that. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Let's read these again together, see what we can learn. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Father, help us to understand our purpose as your children in this world, and help us, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, to be the witnesses you've called us to be, that our lives may make a difference in someone else's life and change their eternity. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. We're going to have to put some WD-40 on the poles downstairs. Someone is playing on one of those poles. I'm sure that's what that is. at any rate, we've got a mission going this morning. I hope that's all that is down there. I don't. Either that or we may need to run for a door or something here. I don't know. We got the groundhog out of there, didn't we? He's not over there anymore. Okay. Oh my. Now I can't remember what we're doing here. We're talking about being witnesses, and I've got so much to share and just little time to share this morning with you, but I want to encourage you again about being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 5 that we're supposed to be influences in this world. The Bible says we're to be salt and we're to be light. Salt, we know, makes you thirsty. Light, we know, exposes darkness and reveals truth. And in both of these ways, there's influence that's taking place, whether it's through salt or whether it's by light, and we're supposed to be influences in our world for the Lord Jesus in that same way. You and I have a stewardship in the gospel. Usually, and we just took the offering a moment ago, usually when we think about stewardship, we think about money, and certainly there's context for that there. But the truth of the matter is, you and I have a stewardship of everything that God does in our lives. Everything He does for us, everything He gives to us, we have a stewardship of it. It's very rare that God ever does anything that is just for us alone. Even if God, when God gives us something by way of income, we're supposed to give 10% of that back. But when God gives us any other kind of blessing, and it's not a physical kind of thing that we can share, we can at least share with other people what God did in our lives. And in that way, we are stewarding that miracle, stewarding that blessing. We're sharing it with others. We're letting people know. And when God saves us, we now have a stewardship of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a message that we need to share with other people. We've come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We've come to realize He is the only way to heaven. And now we want our friends to go to heaven. And so now we tell them about the Lord Jesus. We steward that gift of the gospel with our friends so they can come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior as well. And so this series that we're in, we're endeavoring to create, if you will, a shift in our minds where we go from thinking about the natural world to thinking about the spiritual world, where we go from thinking about our needs and our wants to begin to think about what other people need in their lives, and that being particular, a relationship with Jesus Christ, so that they can make their own choice and make their own salvation plan with the Lord Jesus. And of course, the greatest gift we can ever give to anybody is that opportunity to receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Only Jesus can forgive us of our sins. The ladies just sang about it. We sang about it earlier. Only blood pays for sin. Jesus is the only one who has paid for the sins of the world. Only Jesus can forgive the sins of the world. Only Jesus has life within himself. Therefore, only Jesus can give life to us. It's why 1 John 5 and 12 says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Brother and sister, it always comes down to this. Do you know Jesus or not? And it's a question that every single one of us must answer in and of ourselves. And this world needs Jesus. This world needs Jesus. For the last couple of weeks, we've shared with you a number of scriptures that can help you to understand the gospel, to understand why we need salvation, who the Savior is, how we receive salvation from Jesus. We've given you many scriptures to describe the process of salvation. We've given you many other scriptures that can help you to explain why Christianity is different than the other religions of the world, who Jesus is, all of these kinds of things. So we have armed you, as we said over the last couple of weeks, that we've prepared ourselves for war. We believe in the Second Amendment in this church, and we have a spiritual Second Amendment. That is, we're to arm ourselves with the weapons of the Word of God and to go into the world with that Word. Amen. To announce the good news of Jesus Christ so that men and women everywhere can find salvation. What I want to do this morning is I want to go back to something we talked about a little bit last week. And I want to share with you, I've got 9 things to share with you. I promise I can get them in one sermon. I've got 9 things. You don't believe me, do you? I've got 9 things. You've heard that line before, haven't you? I've got 9 things to share with you this morning about prayer and its relationship to witnessing. How praying can make us better witnesses for the Lord. 9 things to share with you, and I want to start back over with the scripture that we looked at in 2 Chronicles. Again, a lot of scripture. Get your Bibles ready. We're a Bible church, okay? Victory Fellowship is a Bible church. You need to have a Bible when you come to church. Amen. All right. Thank you for that enthusiasm. 2 Chronicles. 2 Samuels, 2 Kings, and 2 Chronicles, and 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And verse 14, a very familiar verse of scripture for many of us, that says simply this. God is speaking to King Solomon, and he says to Solomon, he says in verse 14, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And I want you to notice again, as we talked about it last week, that in this passage of scripture, God said, if my people, God is not calling in this verse of scripture, he's not calling the world to repent of sin. He's calling his people to repent of their sin. He didn't say in that verse of scripture to pray for the sins of the world. He said to pray about your sins. I need to pray about my sins. I need to repent about what's going on in my life that's not suitable to God. You need to pray about what's going on in your life. We're not supposed to pray. There are a lot of sins that go on in the world. But look, there are a lot of sins that are going on in the world. And I'm not claiming self-righteousness or anything here. But there are just a lot of sins that are going on in the world that I haven't committed. And here's my point. For example, I've never had an abortion. How can I repent of a sin I've never committed, you see? So what he's telling us in this verse of scripture is that we need to look at our own hearts, not somebody else's heart, but our own heart. See what the issue is in our own heart. See what the issue is in our own life, and repent of those things in our own lives that are not pleasing to the Lord. And there are plenty of things that we can look at in our heart and find that there are things that we have done or haven't done that we were supposed to have done. How many of you understand that there are sins of commission and sins of omission? You know, we know that when God tells us to do things, or when God says don't do things and we go out and do them anyway, those are sins of commission. And those we recognize pretty quickly. But then there are other sins that we don't even recognize that we have committed because they are simply sins of omission. James tells us in James 4 and verse 7, to him who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him that is a sin. So there's sins of omission. And I can give you several examples of them. We looked a few weeks ago at the story of the Good Samaritan. You remember the story? The man is going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He falls among thieves. They rob him. They beat him. They leave him half dead. And they go off. And then the Bible tells us that two people come by, a priest and a Levite. And these are two spiritual people, people who should have known that when you see somebody in trouble, you do something to help that individual. And what Jesus tells us in that story is that both of those individuals walked right by that man and never stopped to help. That is the sin of omission. He did not stop to do what needed to be done. In Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus talks about the judgment at the end of the age and how we will be separated as sheep and goats, and he'll say to the one, enter into the kingdom of God because you did all of these things. You fed the hungry, you clothed the naked, you visited the imprisoned, you did all of these things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And then to the others, to the goats, he will say, and they will say, well, why can't we enter in? And Jesus will say this, because you didn't bother to feed the hungry. You didn't bother to clothe the naked. You didn't bother to visit the imprisoned. In other words, all of those things you knew you should have been doing, you didn't do any of them. You neglected all of them. Those are sins of omission. Okay? Nate talked this morning, or somebody talked about this morning, about the tithe. About the tithe. The Bible says, whatever income you receive, out of love and faith for the Lord, you give 10% of that back to God. Brother and sister, it has to do with love and faith. It is not about law. It is about showing your love and faith to God. And God says 10%. God said... And maybe we should start reading it this way. God says, whatever you make, you get to keep 90% of it. We always focus on that 10%, don't we? But listen, when we don't give God back the 10% he said to give, that is the sin of omission. When God says, forgive people who have offended you, and we refuse to forgive, that is a sin of omission. There are just a lot of these kinds of things that go on in the lives of all of us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Sins that we need to repent of ourselves. Can I show you another one? You're right there in the Old Testament. You're in 2 Chronicles. You need to go to your left about four books to the book of first five books to the book of 1 Samuel. Okay? Chronicles, Kings was before that, and Samuel is before that. Go to 1 Samuel and chapter 12. Now, in this particular passage of scripture, Samuel is the prophet. The children of Israel have wanted a king like the rest of the nations. And God gave them the king that they wanted. So in essence, they were rebelling against the Lord. But I want you to hear Samuel's heart for the people of Israel out of 1 Samuel chapter 12. Excuse me. Look at verse 22 with me. It says, for the Lord will not abandon his people on account of his great name. because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me. Watch this. Look at verse 23. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. Please hear what the prophet just said there. Far be it from me that I should sin against God by not praying for you. Samuel says, prayerlessness is a sin of omission. It's a sin of omission. And when you and I refuse to go tell the world about Jesus Christ, we have committed a sin of omission. And it's another one of those sins that we need to repent of as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look quickly with me at the Gospel of Luke and the second chapter. That was just the first point. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus is sending out 70 who will be witnesses for him. Ironically enough, but that's not what I'm focusing on so much here in these verses. Verses 1 and 2. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others, and he sent them in pairs ahead of him, ahead of himself, to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. That word beseech, that's the good Old Testament word, a good old English word. I'm not sure why the New American Standard uses it. It means to pray. Pray for the Lord to send out harvesters into the fields that are white unto harvest. In other words, here's something else that we can do to pray. Another prayer that we can pray where evangelism is concerned. We can pray for the Lord to send out witnesses into the fields that are white unto harvest. There are people out there ready to receive the Lord, but there are not enough people out there telling people about the Lord so they can be brought into the kingdom of God. And so he says, pray for the Lord to send harvesters into the field. Now listen, you and I may have friends or family or people that we know in different places around the United States or even around the world, and we can pray, Lord, and they don't know the Lord, and we can pray, Lord, please send someone, some believer, by my friend. Please put a believer in the path of my friend who can tell them about Jesus. And we can pray for the Lord to send harvesters into the field in that way. But do you understand today that prayer, even though prayer is the foundation, listen, prayer is the foundation of everything. But prayer is not always the end of everything. And you, in fact, usually it's not the end of much of anything. Prayer is the beginning of everything. Okay? Here's my point. While we can pray for God to send harvesters out into the fields of the friends that we know, there may be people out in the world who have friends in Lynchburg, Virginia, and they may be praying, Lord, please send some believer in Lynchburg, Virginia by my friend who can tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I can become the answer to the prayer that somebody else is praying, you see. So we need to pray for harvesters to go. But we need to also be the harvesters that are going into the fields that are white unto harvest. Third point, quickly. We need to pray for eyes to see people the way Jesus sees people. And Jesus sees us all equally, and I could get into a long thing about that. Paul made this statement. I will share this. Paul made this statement in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and you need to hear the depth of it in the culture, the context of the culture. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 16, he says, the love of God controls me and compels me to be a witness to every man because I have concluded that Jesus Christ died for all men. Now, we hear that and we get that. Jesus died for all men. This is a phenomenal statement from the Apostle Paul from the first century, who did not believe that Gentile people qualified as humans. The Jews call Gentiles dogs. Racism has deep roots, brother and sister. Very deep roots. But Paul is saying, I have concluded that not only did Jesus die for the Jews, but Jesus died for the Gentiles as well. He died for everybody. So he says, I will no longer see men as who they are after the flesh. I don't care whether they're Jew or Gentile, old, young, male, female. I don't care what anybody is after the flesh. I'm going to tell everybody about Jesus because everybody needs to know about the Savior. And we need to have that same attitude of love for the whole world, for God so loved the world. And we need to have that same attitude and see everybody in the world through Jesus' eyes and be willing to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the whole world, just as we have been commanded. We need to pray for God to give us love for lost souls. So many of us probably have friends and family that would never darken the doors of the church. We know by the lifestyle that they live, they don't have any knowledge of the Lord or salvation or anything like that. And yet we've never bothered once to tell them about Jesus Christ. We need to pray for the Lord to give us a heart for lost souls and a desire to see every man come to the knowledge of the truth, just as the Scripture teaches us. Having that love, we can pray for the Lord to use us to reach the lost, because we know in the Scriptures that we read last week that that's His will. I'm already on point five, by the way. It's the will of the Lord that every man would come to the knowledge of salvation. And we need to pray for the Lord to use us that way. And I know most Christians say, well, I just don't know how to word it. I'm just not qualified to do that. Can I settle it for you right now, forever? The question of qualification. When you say, I am not qualified, you are 100% exactly right. You are not qualified. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. That's why, do you remember when God called Moses? God told, we think of Moses as, and Moses was a great prophet of God, a great prophet of Israel. And we know about his ministry in Egypt and leading the Israelites and all of these things. But if you go back and look, when God called Moses to go down to Egypt to set the people free, God says, Moses, I got a job for you. And Moses says, I can't. I'm not qualified. When God called Gideon to deliver the Israelites from the Midianites, Gideon said, I can't. I'm not qualified. You know what God said to both of those men? He said, you go and I will be with you. I will be the qualification you need to get the work done that I've called you to do. And I'm telling you today that if God calls us to do anything, He will be with us to qualify us to do that work, to bring people into the kingdom of God. We can pray for wisdom. Point six, James tells us, if we lack wisdom, we can pray and God will give it to us liberally without holding back. We can pray for boldness. We can pray for courage. We can pray for God to tell us what to say. Luke tells us in Luke chapter 12, he says, Jesus tells his disciples, when they bring you before the spiritual leaders, when they bring you before the religious leaders, don't worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will give you exactly what you need to say in that hour. Just trust the Holy Spirit to give you what you need to know. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, that people who don't believe have their spiritual eyes blinded by the god of this world, who the Bible identifies as the devil. People who don't believe have their eyes blinded by the god of this world. Now listen, you and I have some authority in the spiritual realm, and we can speak into that. Where the enemy is blinding people's eyes, we can speak into that and we can command demons according to the scripture. Now, let me just say one thing about that. We can't always guarantee that there's going to be success when we speak into a situation like that, because let's face it, let's just be honest this morning, some people like their demons. There's some people that have demons of lust or greed or bitterness or all of these kinds of things, and they're not willing to part with them. And so you're going to have a hard time breaking through in that situation. But spiritual warfare prayer is the seventh way that we can pray and use prayer in our evangelism and in our witnessing. We need to pray for the Lord to open the eyes of the spiritually blind. There are many examples of Jesus doing that. Matthew chapter 16. Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Peter, you didn't get that from anybody else, but God himself revealed that to you. God opened your eyes to who I really am." Mary Magdalene at the tomb of Jesus, she saw someone she thought was a gardener. And when Jesus spoke to her, her eyes were open and she knew it was the resurrected Son of God standing in her presence. That very night, he walks with two men down the road to Emmaus. They don't know who he is. He goes into the house. They sit down and they break bread. And with the breaking of bread, their eyes are opened. The blinders are lifted. And they realize they've been fellowshipping with the Son of God. And we need to pray for the Holy Spirit to open blind eyes. It's what he's come to do, to give sight to the blind. The Bible says that no man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. In other words, it takes the Holy Spirit to open blind eyes and for people to know who Jesus really is. Final point. I got 10 extra minutes. Let's see what I skipped over here. And go back. We need to pray for our own spiritual eyes and ears to be opened. I mentioned this at the very beginning, that the whole point of this series is to get us to have a shift in our minds about what we're seeing and what's going on around us, and to get out of the natural and to get into the spiritual realm and see what God is doing and see what God is up to. Because I guarantee you, because you are a believer and God wants to use you to witness to the world, I guarantee you every day there are opportunities that are presenting themselves. There are doors that are being opened before us, and opportunities to share Jesus or just talk about Jesus or just insert the name of Jesus into a conversation or just invite somebody to church. All the time, these opportunities are taking place before us. Some of us that are getting older, we have some aches and pains. And we talk to some of our friends who have aches and pains. And when we do that, we always have a good doctor to refer our friends to. "Oh, my doctor, he's the best. He can really treat that. I had that and he knew exactly what to do and he can treat." We're so quick to refer people to all of our natural doctors. Why don't we refer people to our spiritual doctor when they've got problems and they're griping and complaining, like most of us are doing most of the time these days? Let's refer people to Jesus. Tell them about the Lord. We need to take every opportunity that's presented to us to tell people about the Lord and to talk about Jesus. Gary and I went down to Hawkins, Lock and Key. We bought a couple of digital locks to go on the houses over here, the Victory houses, so that we can just change a code when people are in and out and things like that over there. Then Hawkins, they're observing the strict guidelines of the the quarantine. You can't go inside, so you stand on the sidewalk. They come outside and they help the customers on the sidewalk there. So Gary and I are standing on the sidewalk there, and we're just kind of shooting the breeze. And by the way, I learned a lot about Gary while I was standing in there. Yes, he did. He learned a lot about me too. So what happens at Hawkins stays at Hawkins. You understand? We're down there on the sidewalk. We're waiting for the guy to come out and to help us. And this young woman walks up, and she has a shirt on. And this shirt says, Living the Good Life. And I looked at her, and I read it out loud. I said, Living the Good Life. I said, Are you living the good life? She said, Yeah. I said, You know, the only way I know to live the good life is to live it with the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was a Christian, and her hands went straight up in the air, and she started praising the Lord right on Fort Avenue down there, you know, just worshiping God. But we need to take opportunities. Just any little thing like that can come up, can be an opportunity to mention Jesus. I'll share one more. I got a phone call. This has been several years ago now. I got a phone call from a lady who was the mother of a gentleman who was coming to our church back in those days. This was a Jewish family. But this man had gotten saved. He'd come to receive Christ as his Savior. And, of course, he wants his family to know the Lord. So he's talking to his Jewish family about Jesus all the time. And they are just they're just done with him. You know, they're just livid at all. They're just so angry that all he wants to talk about in their Jewish home is Jesus. So she called me to complain. I had a message on the thing when I came, and please call me back. I need to talk to you about my son. He's made our family very angry and is very divisive. Now, this was a long time ago, so what I'm sharing with you is not going to be verbatim, but it was very similar to this. This woman, I called her back, and she said, my son just talks about Jesus all the time, and our whole family is just so angry with him. We just don't want to have anything to do with him. Would you please talk to this gentleman and please tell him to stop talking to our family about Jesus? So I said, ma'am, I am very sorry that this gentleman is causing so much friction in your home. I was legitimately, honestly apologetic to the woman. And then I said, can I just explain to you for just a moment why he's doing what he's doing? I said, he's doing what he's doing because he loves you. I realize it's making you all mad, but what he's doing because he loves you. And I said, the reason he's telling you these things is because he honestly believes that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of the world, and that if we want to go to heaven, we all have to believe in Jesus and put our faith in Jesus. And I said, it's all about love. He's not trying to upset you. He just loves you. And did you know that the whole time I'm explaining the gospel of Jesus Christ to her, she's just sitting there listening to me talk about Jesus? She called to complain about her son talking about Jesus and sat there and listened to me explain the gospel to her. We just, when we have opportunities, we need to have the mind of the Lord, the wisdom of God. Sometimes it's the time to speak up. Honestly, sometimes it's not. We have to hear the Lord. We have to know the Lord. We have to know his voice. We have to know the wisdom of God to witness in the way and in the time when God would tell us to do something. But listen, you and I never know. We never know the difference that we might be making in someone's life just by sharing a simple word of love to somebody, a simple act of kindness, an invitation to church, letting somebody know you're praying for them, telling somebody about Jesus Christ. And you know, it's not always important. I remember back in the day when I first got saved, it was so important that witnessing was treated like a sales campaign almost. You gave a sales pitch, and it was all about closing the deal. You know, like you do when you're selling something. And you know, that's not really our job. Only Jesus can close the deal. You can't close the deal. And God never asks you to close the deal. Here's what God asks you to do. God asks you, God asks me to plant the seed. Just plant the seed. Just in some way, tell somebody something about Jesus. And let God take that seed and bring fruit out of it. Paul said, some plant, some water, but God causes the increase. So our responsibility is just tell. The rest of the responsibility is up to God. Can I tell you? He's well able to do his part. We need to be faithful to do our part. Let's stand together.